WMFO in Medford, rising with Sky Bar. All kinds of changes since I've been in here last. They finally fixed the floor, so when you roll, you don't fall into divots. It's wicked cool. Got a new board here that I have not yet figured out, but we'll see. Anyway, full show tonight. I got a guest coming. Oh, might help if I pull the mic over. Full show tonight. I got a guest coming in about 8:30 or so. Jimbo Jones from Key of Caustic. But I'm going to play a lot of music. As usual, there's a lot of new music as well this week. So let's get things started. Once again, WMFO in Medford, rising with Sky Bar.
We'll be right back. trouble. That's two kinds of trouble. That's two kinds of trouble. Just two kinds of trouble.
That was that was Dutch Tulips with Gold Chain, brand new single by them. For that, Phil Aiken, he has a new release out called Here Goes Nothing, played a song by the same name, Here Goes Nothing. The Hives, brand new. I'm a big fan of The Hives. Seen them, I saw them about 15 years ago. Great rock band. They have a new album out called The Death of Randy Fitzsimmons. Played a song called Two Kinds of Trouble. Probably get another one of those in later in this set. And The Rumors started with a band, a song called Break My Heart. It's 814 WMFO in Medford. Be back with a guy soon from Key Acoustic. But right now I'm going to play some more local stuff. This is a band, an older band called The Downbeat Five.
I'm gonna live. Lord, when we're
All right, that was The Outlets, old great local band from Boston. Before that, the Dropkick Murphys. Dropkick Murphys did a song called The Outcast. And of course, the Downbeat Five, a song called The Outcast. But I'm here with Kiev Kostic. Introduce yourself, guys.
Hey, I'm Jimbo Jones.
Hey, what's going on? Tyler Roth here.
Hey, great to have you guys in. So before we get on the new, we're going to talk about the new release. You got a new release coming up. In a couple of days, I guess. Not out yet.
A couple of weeks. A
couple of weeks ish. But let's go back a bit to. I imagine you guys have been in the music for a while now. I'm just guessing that, but you've probably been in bands for quite a bit between the two of you.
Yeah, I got about 10 years' experience in the music industry on the back end of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Bands forever.
Yeah, so it's been something you've known. And how long has Kiev Kostic kind of come together?
That came together right as the pandemic was starting, you know. And it was I was thinking I was going to take a couple of weeks, you know, while everything shut down and form a new, you know, music venture.
Yeah,
that was originally just going to be an acoustic duo, and here we are.
Really? So initially you were thinking maybe just some acoustic stuff you were fiddling around with kind of during the pandemic to help you cope like everyone else did. They wrote stuff and you're thinking maybe I'll just throw something together and me and a buddy of mine will play some acoustic numbers.
That's exactly what it was. Yeah, absolutely. And I was going to play some acoustic guitar and sing, and my buddy was going to roll in with his, you know, cajon or, you know, djembe or something and do sing some backup vocals and hit a few pubs around, you know, and celebrate, you know, freedom again. And man, things changed.
Yeah, so when did it transform into, like, all right, this is going to be a kicking band?
Well, you know, I'd made some demos in my own little studio that I have and sent it out to, you know, sort of through my network, my old friends and whatever. And within, like, a matter of hours, you know, my phone was lighting up like, no, this is not acoustic duo stuff. You got to get a band around this and, you know, up-tempo it and that's sort of how it was born.
So that must have been great to get, like, that feedback. Like, man, you got something here. We gotta go with it.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised.
And were you in there from the get-go? When did you jump in?
I actually just hit my year mark a couple weeks ago. Last year, we worked on a festival together in Lowell called the Summer Jam. We had a couple, 10 bands, 5 outside, 5 inside. And we did some stuff before that, and you know, he called me up and he was like, hey, you want to, like, come by this, our you know, recording spot and just come chat. And so I stopped by a little nervous, and you know, they asked me to join them and give them a hand with some things. And you know, since then it's just been the growth has,
so you're
been
kind of a newcomer to the scene, like a year out basically, right?
Yeah.
So that's cool. So it's working out.
I'm Tyler, Tyler keeps us all in check, you know. Keeps our you know, our poop together.
Right, right. Because we're on, the old FCC.
And then it just morphed into a sort of a manager role where he handles our bookings and, you know, venue relations and just all of that stuff that frees me up to focus on music, and I don't have to deal with that stuff anymore. You know.
Yeah. So it was a good get by you guys.
It was a great.
And I know you write all the lyrics, Jimbo, right? and the music as well, is that fleshed out when everyone comes in, gets involved?
Well, you know, the songs that you hear the band has their entire fingerprint on it. I come up with an idea or a melody or I have this thing, I call it the radio in my head. I just get obsessed with this, you know, whether it's a lyric, you know, or just a melody line. And I'll start to vet it out. And if I become super obsessed, meaning I can't sleep, I have to get up and play my guitar, or I'm on a Zoom call at work, you know, I still have a day job, hopefully not for too much longer.
Gotta pay the bills.
You know, I'll run to my guitar in the middle of a Zoom meeting. I know that I'm on to something, you know. And so that's when I'll demo it in my little studio. You know, basic drum track, bass, some rhythm guitar, maybe some leads, some vocals, maybe some backup, whatever. And then when that's done, that's what I hand to the band. And then we sort of work that into an actual song.
Yeah.
So the songs don't become songs until that process. But we found that it's really repeatable, and it's scalable, and it works. And so we just keep doing it.
Now we're gonna I'm gonna play one of your tracks.
Cool.
I don't think it's on the album. Is the album all new stuff? Except for the one we mentioned.
Yeah. So it's
because you've dropped not a lot, but I have Where Did It Go? Watch It Burn.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I play those, that's.
Oh, you can play those. Yeah. I mean, those are you know.
I'm gonna play them, and then we'll figure out later.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be back. We'll chat about the actual upcoming release in a minute. But here's Where Did It Go. I think I hear the thing it said. No. Yeah, see, we get talking, and what happens is I forget to turn music off and on and things. So we were almost going right into the outlet's Wait again, which I already played. But those were two key acoustic songs, Watch It Burn, Where Did It Go? They will not be on the new release, but they were great singles of their own.
Thank you.
Yeah, and so all right, let's talk about this. What was the, did you have a concept or a theme of what you wanted to do with this? Because it's the... This is your first release, technically, right?
That's our debut album, man.
And you came out of the chutes firing, like a lot of, you know, 10 tracks, major contributors here. So, I mean, it's an impressive opening, shall we say.
Thanks, man. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
And I can't wait to hear it. But so what was the concept, like I said, what were you trying to get across with the album?
So it was almost kind of like, you know, like a what if type of deal, you know, and working with Paul Coldery was the best experience of my life. Just one hell of a great guy and super smart, but he knows music.
Yeah.
But, and he knows how to record and all that, obviously, duh, but he knows how to work with bands, you know. And so we had discussed, you know, what the concept was going to be, and, you know, we're obviously fans of vintage punk rock. You were a punk band, you know, and so it was like, what if the Ramones, or what if, you know, Johnny Thunders, or what if the Sex Pistols were still doing music now? Like, what if they were, you know, our age? Or,
yeah.
You know, what would it sound like? And so we wanted to try to draw a parallel between now and then, and sort of take that into now. So we have it's very vintage punk roots based. Crunchy guitars, P90 pickups on the Les Paul Juniors, and just, you know, minimal cymbals and just basic punk rock, but like with a modern twist on it,
right?
With some harmonies and different cool things that, you know, that we discussed. So that was the concept of it.
Yeah, I was gonna say, and you can, even on the stuff that I just played, there's a bit of a mix there, you know, like you straddle that line of, it's not just like, it's not Sex Pistols or Ramones, but you can hear that.
Yeah,
in it,
yeah,
which is kind of cool. How did you get in touch with Paul? How'd that happen?
Oh my God, that's like a year-long, you know, process.
Did he find you? Did you reach out to him?
Yeah, we sort of, you know, we sort of. I'm not, you know, I reached out. I was persistent. You know, I'm just a persistent. You know, dude.
You got to go after what you want.
You know, the door's not going to open on its own. Yeah. You know, and so I knew I wanted to work with him and him only, because I'm just such a huge fan of his work. And I thought, man, if I could ever have a chance to work with a guy like that, what would these little ditties I'm coming up with, what would they sound like, you know? And, you know, it was a very arduous process, you know, and lots of, like, hang-ups, like, from his, you know, like, he's a network around him, you know?
Right.
So I reached out to him.
You probably initially. Have to go through a few walls to get to him.
Yeah, I reached out to him, you know, shot an email. Next thing you know, I get a phone call from, like, his manager. You know, he has a part of a management group that all these, like, super dope, you know, producers are under. You know, and she reached out. She's like, oh, and she started telling me all his rates. Like, it was like, I wanted to throw up. I'm like, and so how many songs do you want to do? And I was like, no.
An album.
Let me get back to you on that. That was, like, ridiculous. You know, it was $1,000 to record, you know, mix it, $1,000 to record it. You know, it was a lot of money. And I was like, well, I'm not going to give up. I'll figure this out one way or another.
Yeah.
And just, you know, through sheer persistence. And every time I did a demo, I would send it to him and sort of bypass her. You know, I'd see a video of him. Or like,
yeah.
My sister, you know, let me know about a video she saw with him in it and sent him a clip. Yeah, it was just, you know, having a reason to reach out and getting my name in front. But
right. At
the end of the day, man, he reached out and he's like, I really like what you're doing. And he said, can we get on the phone, you know?
Wow.
And, he said to me, it was both the best and the worst day. Because he said, I like what you're doing. I see where you guys are going. And he goes, but you just haven't written that song yet, man.
Yeah, but I imagine that's...
Like, what? Like,
I imagine that's common. Like, I like all your songs, but I don't hear the hit yet thing.
That's what he said. He's like, you know, we like Fly Like Closet, but you already did it. And he said, I tell you what. He goes, Jimbo, this is what I need you to do. He goes, I need you to redefine anger. It's exactly what he said. And I have my notebook because I'm a copious note taker, man. I'm just like a sponge.
Yeah.
You know,
and if he's telling you something,
you
write
that down. What does that mean? Like, what do you mean redefine anger?
Yeah.
And he was like, you know, you got to come up with a mantra and something that people can get behind that a million people are thinking and nobody's saying, but it can't be political, it can't be religious, it can't have any of those undertones to it. But you've got to come up with a way that
you don't
want to
anger any particular group.
No, we want people to line up with us and be like singing the lyrics.
So you got
to
be kind of careful with it.
Yeah. And so he said, I'm going to give you 2 months, go write it. And in 2 days, I delivered to him, Where Did It Go? We decided not to really work with that one because, again, I told you the situation. Anyway, but like he said, okay, so now we're going. So go do it again. Another week.
He was like, now you get what I'm going after. What I want you to do.
And
I think we can.
You know, just writing and writing and writing a succession. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. A succession of these songs and. You know, it was like we have this interesting thing where like he'll thumbs up or thumbs down. Like I'd cut a demo, we'd cut a demo, and we'd send it, and you know, we'd get a thumbs up or I like it or nah, you know, like he wouldn't say anything, and I knew that was a thumb. You know, so we just started to take all of these ones that he was really high on.
Yeah.
And we said, you know, like, we're gonna do an album. And again, it started with like maybe we'll do a song, and then he was, you know, then he was coming to Boston to hang out with us at our studio, in our rehearsal space, and teaching us and coaching us.
And where was this Alliance? Is that where this was?
No, that's where we recorded it.
Okay.
I meant our rehearsal studio in China.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he'd come by and hang out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he came by a few times, and you know, we'd work on it. Yeah. So and it just organically just
a few of the great, because he's worked with some awesome bands. Just give me 3 or 4 of the great bands that he's worked with.
My favorite, Radiohead.
Yeah,
favorite, the Pixies. My other favorite, the Mighty Mighty Boston.
So monster bands.
Yeah,
monster.
Oh, absolutely.
Dinosaur Jr. Yeah. Hole and
yeah. I mean, you knew it was real when he was sitting on the couch and he was listening. He's tapping his foot. He's giving a little
with his notepad, taking notes.
And he's just loving it. And he'll stop us. Be like, oh Colin, try this instead, and then Colin would do it, and it would just like there was one thing he said to do for Colin, and it was just like it changed the dynamic of what that part of the song was, and it took it to a whole new level. And just having someone from like the outside of like you know, knowing music for years and years, decades. And just having that try this really pushed that to the next level, And, you know, at that moment when he's sitting on the couch and then and we all were just hanging out and having a beer and something magical was happening at that point.
And the I did see the album CD cover. Mm-hmm. Who how'd you come up with that? The name, actually. It's Unleashed? Is that
Yeah,
the,
it's Unleashed.
Is there anything to that?
Yeah,
or is,
yeah, it's like, you know, if you look at the graphic, we had an artist do it. I gave the concept, and an artist, you know, worked up a few versions of it, and we liked that one. But basically, it's like, you know, it's the Statue of Liberty kind of holding her head in her hands, like shaking her head, like in I don't know whether it's in disgust or despair or what, but it's because Kiev Kostak has been unleashed on the country. So it's kind
on the world.
It's kind of like a play.
Yeah. On the world.
All right.
Yeah, but starting, well, that's why the Statue of Liberty. So it starts in the, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there a song called Unleashed? Probably
there
not.
There is not. No.
There is not. There is
not.
And well, I'm gonna play Closet. This might be. It'll be a better version of it, I think. On the. But I'm gonna play Closet.
Yeah. We didn't remix it. We did an entirely new recording of Closet.
Oh, it sounds completely, especially with the backups on it, and it's a whole new song. It brings a whole new life to it. But the, like, just
layers and layers. Yeah. You know, it's very dimensional.
Well, this one I like this one a lot as it is, so I can't wait to hear the right.
Definitely.
So we're gonna play this, and then we'll come back and we'll talk a bit more about the actual release, what you guys are gonna do around it, and things of that nature. But I might sneak another one in as well. But cool. This is Closet.
Yeah.
I was
That was a quick one by the Jacklights called Feed the Young, and Closet by Key of Caustic. So, you're talking about the great band of Jacklights. You guys know
that.
Oh,
by the way, Nalaja, yeah, she's so cool. That band rocks.
Yeah, she's got new stuff coming out. She's coming on here, I think, October 10th. I forget the date. It's a ways out because she's busy. She's a busy girl, Nalaja. But she's going to school, I think, graduate school.
Good for her.
But, yeah, she's coming in on October 10th. So, getting back to the... new release, will it be CD and vinyl?
Yes. We're going to do a limited run of vinyl, and we're going to do some CD, but it's going to be predominantly digital, man.
Yeah.
You know, we want to drive those streams up, and it'll be a combination of, but the vinyl's, you know, vinyl.
Vinyl's just expensive
vinyl ain't cheap,
as all hell.
Man.
No, I know.
You know, and so, you know, a limited
vinyl's
run.
Weird because it ain't cheap, but I guess if someone does buy, you get it. It's not cheap to buy either. So I guess you get bang for your buck, but the cost of putting it out, and is it still all backed up? Like you put something in, it takes like 6 months, 7 months for it to be out?
Yeah, it's a pretty massive lead time that you have to...
Yeah, digital again, is what seems to be what drives people as well. I mean, I like physical products, but it's almost like... I know how, it's the age. You have to do that.
I mean, it's even hard to sell a CD nowadays.
Yeah,
no one has a CD player in their car. No one's walking around with the CD player.
Old bastards like me do, but I know. Digital is
the way to go, man. You just got to figure out how to crack
it. All my stuff, all my music is in my laptop right here. It's now 80% digital, And that was due to COVID, because when COVID hit, we had to do this show from... We couldn't come in to the studio, so I had to do the show from my, like, dining room table.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So I'm like, wow. And I used to just bring CDs in and play all CDs. I didn't do any digital. But during COVID, I'm like, well, the only way you can get music now is if people send me a digital, and I download it to my iTunes and play it. And I was like, wow, this is easy.
Yeah.
So now I've gone the other... Now I don't play any CDs. I just, you know, play stuff up to digital here.
As we sit here surrounded by albums, right?
Oh, I know. There's vinyl everywhere. This is
it's like vinyl heaven, man.
Yeah. But so you're going to, I imagine, tour around this thing?
There's a lot of things that I can't get into lots of specific details.
I should have had you in here at like in a month.
Yeah, you should have caught me after I had a few Jack Daniels.
Spilling my beans. Yeah.
No,
I'm like,
yeah.
You got anything for me? We can't really say much.
Yeah, we've got a couple cool things coming up in 2024, one of which is...
I mean, we are breaking out into Rhode Island for two shows, which is pretty cool. We're branching out our out of Boston.
But that we can divulge.
Yeah, but with the tour, there's a couple that, you know, it looks like we're going to be placed on as openers regionally for... You know, can't say really say who, but you know, big band. So for us, it'll afford us the chance to play some bigger stages in some different areas and tap into a new vein of fans, right?
Yeah.
I'm pretty stoked about it.
Because the goal is to try to broaden the appeal, broaden the listeners and the buyers, and to become more of just a local band and spread out.
Yeah,
I guess that's the goal of all bands, I would imagine.
Hit the road, man.
Yeah. All right, guys. So thanks so much for coming in.
Yeah, thank
you. We don't have a release date really, right? There might be some singles in the near.
It'll be before September 15th. Let's just say that. I think before the actual album drops.
Yeah.
Again, that's depending on what's going to happen over the next couple of months. We're obviously not with Code 213 Records anymore. We've got some other stuff happening. But anyway, so we'll drop a couple of singles before that window closes. So
sometime, probably within a month, we might see this thing.
100%, we'll drop, definitely first single coming at you really soon, and then we'll just be dropping them at, like hotcakes and what, at 5 to 8 weeks intervals between?
Like 8 weeks is.
That's what bands do now. They drop a bunch of singles. So you're going to follow that vein, so to speak.
Yeah. I mean, we got a publicist out there that shoots it out there. So, the ones that we had released before tracked on numbers in the indie charts around different areas. So hoping to see those numbers back up again and getting people back into seeing Key of Caustic on those charts.
Yeah. You got great music, guys.
Thanks, man. Thank you for having us. We're big fans of you.
My pleasure. Yeah, no, my pleasure. I'm just trying to... Because people, this music should be heard. That's all I'm trying to do.
I agree. Yes, listen to it, people.
You know, and You're going to college radio and MFO, between Brian, Mike on the mic, myself. This station does a lot for local music.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Oh, yeah, so, absolutely.
This is the beacon of hope right here.
So tune into MFO, and yeah, that's where you're going to hear this great stuff.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
Peace out, y'all.
Thank y'all.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Cool.
Me, a cat, moving in with a single guy. At first, I thought it might be a little weird, but turns out it's actually pretty amusing. For instance, like my human's gotten so used to me being around, sometimes I think he forgets I'm here. He'll get up for work, shower, shave, and come out with no pants. Plops right down in front of the TV. Hello, there's a lady in the room.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
WMFO in Medford, Rising with Sky Bar. Just heard Tunnel of Love by a band called Cupid. The Jack Lights was earlier with Eat the Young. Little Billy Lost, Dance Angelina Dance. 9 o'clock straight up. Want to thank the guys from Key of Caustic once again for coming in. Really look forward to that new record. It's going to be called Unleashed. Right now I'm going to play something by Phantom Ocean.